thought the last finale was fantastic. It was beautiful. It wrapped everything up.
I think primarily, you've got to have somebody on that panel who actually knows what they're talking
this
about.
This is the largest incident response to an oral spill.
The third option is the top kill.
They were making funny noises.
The oral spill. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. An autistic teen with a heart condition is tasered by the police. And maybe with good reason, too. World famous Phil Henry Show here every night as we... And by the way, our website is philhenryshow.com, where you can listen to and watch live video and audio. Right now, you can check out the show as we perform it at philhenryshow.com. You can listen to the archived audio that we have, the archived video that we have, as well as downloadable audio each and every day. As far as how do you download it, you know, we have so many. In fact, the press release went out today. I ought to read this press release. Can you find it for me, bud?
Which one?
What do you mean, which one? There was only one.
Yeah, well, the press release about where?
The press release about that we did a press release about our website. And I'll just quote from it. Phil Henry Show website up 20%. What recession? Nationally syndicated and now heard in Toronto, Canada, on News Talk 1010, talk radio satirist Phil Henry has achieved unprecedented success with his recently relaunched website, philhenryshow.com. It underwent a complete overhaul and update and now includes such user-friendly features as live video casts with pre-show, live video cast during the program, daily full show downloads, classic Phil archives, and comment boards for our subscribers. In today's economy, and with most consumers spending less on necessities, let alone entertainment, the Phil Henry Show website saw a nearly 20% rise in subscriptions known as Backstage Pass subscribers, or BSPs. There are features available only to BSP folks, such as being able to email Phil directly and have him respond to every communication personally, as well as to be able to post something on the site while non-subscribers can read but not respond. Finally, Phil himself updates the website numerous times each day, including, weekends and most recently while on a two-week vacation in the Grenadines. We actually had our video casts from the Grenadines. We did half-hour video casts. Weird crap like the rum tasting, just all kinds of goofy stuff. Henry stated, and I quote...
There's Mr. Henry being quoted, right?
Yeah. Yes, this would be Mr. Henry, mainly me.
Okay.
Henry stated, we know that times are tough and that every dollar counts, but we don't care, we want your money. No, it says, we know that times are tough and every dollar counts, but sometimes... Entertainment is exactly what we need, and that's why I make the extra effort to update the website throughout the day to connect with the subscriber other than just through our broadcasts. Now, according to our website administrator, Greg Waugh, quote, Henry is just plain wired for social media. He maintains a close relationship with his fans via his website and even closer by interacting directly with his Backstage Pass subscribers. And we do interact, man. I mean, it's no holds barred sometime. Customer support has been another key element. This is really true. We've got fantastic customer support on our website. Alex Cohen, he heads the customer support division, and he stated, quote, when we first moved over to the new format, people were skeptical, but they have come to love our new design and our ease of navigation. So that was a little press release that we did. And the reason why we did that is because it is news in the middle of a recession when your business is up month to month 20%. Now, I'm not saying that to say what a fantastic guy I am. I'm saying that because what the hell, weren't we talking about this?
Well, you were talking about how people ought to not be thinking about a recession. They ought to just, go out and kick ass.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I meant. So if we got a website that's a subscription-based website, we did a redesign, and that's about it. But we still offer basically the same stuff. We've got some new things in there. We got the news feed, and we have, the email features, and we're, a lot of different ways of getting about the site that are perhaps easier than they used to be, and our news feed, and our interaction with our listeners, and so on and so forth. But you know, primarily it's just a, it's a, it's a slight improvement in terms of design and navigation, and yet our business is up 20%. Now, I don't know what to tell you. I know that there's a recession on, and I know that business is bad for people, but sometimes all you got to do is tweak it a little bit here, tweak a little bit there, and just, you know, work a little harder, and who knows, maybe good things can happen. I have no idea.
Like this guy here.
But I'll get to the Gord Matador, okay?
I thought it'd be a good segue.
What are you talking about?
I thought a good segue.
You go from a from your website doing good to the Matador, he got a horn. He got a horn wedged.
Hey, you know what? Don't be funny, man. This cat didn't get a horn wedged. This guy took a horn right through his throat. And he's lucky to be alive. And I saw the pictures. As soon as I was done with the last hour talking to those two fantastic, those two intellectual giants, David G. Hall and Chris Norton, I went over and I took a look at this poor man. His name is Julio Aparicio.
Now, that's not to be confused with the Minnesota Twin shortstop, right?
Hey, what is it, you? Did you...
He got a pass to MLB.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you go to MajorLeagueBaseball.com and look that up or something? What do you mean? You mean Louis Aparicio?
Yeah.
No, I guess not, because this guy's name is Julio.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's right, bud. Former Minnesota Twin shortstop Louis Aparicio and now Spanish Matador. Anyway, Julio Aparicio was recovering in hospital on Saturday after suffering a horrific goring during a bullfight in Madrid. A half-ton bull caught the Toreador under his chin after he lost his footing and stumbled while executing a pass with his red cape at the Spanish capital's packed bull ring. The horn of the animal tore into the bullfighter's throat and emerged through his mouth in a dramatic goring on Friday evening that had the crowd screaming in horror. As well, you would imagine that they were. And it was a very horrible thing to see. The pink stocking sequin matador was lifted into the air and then dropped to the sand. The bull backed away after it was distracted by fellow matadors who dashed to the rescue. The 41-year-old struggled to his feet, staggered a few yards, sputtering blood, and was carried from the ring and into the medical ward at the Las Ventas Arena. He later underwent 6 hours of surgery at a place called the October 12th Hospital in Madrid, where doctors performed an emergency tracheotomy, and they worked to reconstruct the man's throat, jaw, tongue, and the roof of his mouth. Oh, my God. He remains in the intensive care... What are you doing?
I'm just seeing how...
Get your hands out of your mouth, bud.
What are you doing, man?
Sir, what would it feel like?
It don't feel too good. You can be assured of that. Sticking your fingers in your mouth.
Well, here, let me...
Do it to me. Get out of here. Just suffice to say, it's a very dramatic and horrific injury. He later underwent 6 hours of surgery to reconstruct his throat, jaw, tongue, and the roof of his mouth. He remains in the intensive care unit at the hospital, has regained consciousness, and his vital signs are stable. There were no surgical complications, said the bullfighter's father. Also, Julio Aparicio, it was a serious goring. Almost his entire mouth was destroyed. Oh, Lord. It's too early to talk of recovery. We must wait and see. There were fears for his life in the first anxious hours after the goring. The injured man comes from a famous bullfighting family. His father is also a matador, and he was one of the big draws at the San Isidro Bullfighting Festival that takes place each May in Madrid. The evening bullfights are watched by sellout crowds at the 25,000-seat Las Ventas Bullring. They're broadcast live on cable television. Six animals are killed in each bullfight. Many of Spain's newspapers carried the photographs of the exact moments of the goring, sparking arguments on the message board. Some viewers thought the images too shocking. Others used it as a chance to call for a ban on bullfighting altogether, which is really interesting because you want to ban bullfighting. Why? I thought people wanted to ban bullfighting because it was cruel. It was cruel to the animal. Now we want to ban it because the guy got a horn through the throat. I don't think you want to ban bullfighting because humans may be at risk. I think it's probably the other way around. But this is Spain, and 25,000 people in the bullfighting ring there in Madrid. I don't know. They say it was a sellout crowd, so it's a small arena, I guess, by American standards. But nonetheless, they pack them in, man. They love this stuff. Now, are they smart? Are they dumb? I don't know. I will say this, that up until the mid-1970s, Spain was a dictatorship. It was a dictatorship, man. emphasis on dictator. And because of that, nobody's too bright. I mean, it's not that the people themselves are stupid, but any society where there is a totalitarian rule, which means rule of the press, rule of speech, there's a police state atmosphere. I don't want to say a rigid police state in the case of Spain, although I have no reason to believe that it wasn't. It was run by one guy, and that was that guy Franco. Fernando Franco, wasn't that his name? Ferdinand Franco?
Yeah, all those guys are named like Ferdinand or some jazz like that.
Well, I don't want to know what all those guys are named. What's his name? Ferdinand Franco?
That was Franco.
Well, what was his last name?
Franco.
Franco Franco, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, get out of it. Would you guys look it up and find out what his name was? It was Ferdinand or Freddie or Frankie or Frankie Franco. I think that was it. In any event...
What do you mean Frankie Franco?
Well, it's better than what you came up with, which was Franco Franco. Nonetheless, this is the guy that ran the roost over there, right? And when you have that kind of a society, it's impossible for the people, for the culture, for the society itself to grow, to evolve. It is, in point of fact, retarded. In a literal sense. So that when finally you lift those controls and the rule of democracy is either restored or introduced for the first time. In the case of Spain, I don't know what the case is there, but nonetheless, you have a society that's got a lot of catching up to do. And one of the things that you know, and you hear this about Spain, they're socially, when it comes to their, how do I put this? They're a little ignorant when it comes to the treatment of people, when it comes to the recognition of the differences of people in terms of race. They use the N-word over there a lot. There was a Formula One driver, a very popular Formula One automobile racing driver from England who was black, that they would reference as an N-word in Spain. They would use this word publicly, loudly. They were the people with the whole slant-eyed thing with the Chinese, right? Now, maybe people in America do that, and I'm sure they do. I've been to parties. But nonetheless...
His name is Francisco Pauline Franco.
Yeah, Pauline.
Pauline.
Yeah, it says here.
Well, it's Francisco Paulino Franco, Pauline. Here in America, if you do that kind of thing, you do it behind closed doors, you know, with your wife or your lover. But...
What?
Doing the slant-eyed Chinese thing. But anyway... In Spain, it's a publicly demonstrated bit of humor because they're kind of lame. They're sort of dumbass over there, right? Some people may say, oh, they're free to speak their mind. Well, okay. What you're basically saying is they're free to exhibit just how jackass they are. So Spain, while a lot of people say it's just, oh, my goodness, Spain. Oh, yeah, man, you got to go over there and see Seville and all of that stuff, you know. Barcelona, woo, man. You know, I'm sure it is very beautiful, and my understanding is the people are great, but not too bright. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's see. Governor Brewer uses a puppet to take on critics who have read the illegal immigrant bill, or who haven't read the illegal immigrant bill. This is Governor Brewer of Arizona using puppets to take on the critics of the illegal immigrant bill, if I'm interpreting this tease properly. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Show. Simon Cowell, bored with American Idol, says the story here. And I got another one here. Teacher lets students wear Klan outfits. And then finally, Georgia police taser Clifford Gravenberg, an autistic teen with a heart condition. I don't know why they used his full name. I don't know if he's famous or something in that part of the world. This is from the New York Daily News. Clifford Gravenberg, an autistic teen with a heart condition. An 18-year-old autistic Georgia youth with a heart condition. Is he famous?
I don't know. You have to forget. I think he plays piano.
What do you mean, plays piano?
I don't know.
Well, he has a name like he plays piano, is what I mean.
Well, what does that mean, Bud? Does he play piano or not?
He might, but I don't know. What I mean is he has a name, it's fame, like he's a famous piano player.
Well, what if he's a famous piano player? He's got a name like he's got a like he's a famous piano player, but you don't know.
No.
Well, I'm just wondering why they put the guy's name in the headline. That's very unusual.
Well, because it's Clifford Grevenberg. You know, if you got a name like that, you're going to want to probably get it out front, just in case.
Yeah, in case anybody's going to ride you for it, you know.
Oh, I see. Okay, in case anybody's going to ride my ass for it. All right. Nonetheless, officers arrested Clifford Grevenberg Friday night. He's an 18-year-old Georgia youth with a heart condition, and he says police turned a taser on him. All right, so Clifford says the police, the cops arrested him on Friday night, according to the AP. And Dario Mariani, who is the brother, wait a minute, man, let me read this all over again. Officers arrested Clifford Grevenberg Friday night, says the AP, and told his brother, Dario Mariani, that the teen was drunk and disorderly. But Mariani, who doesn't have the same last name as Grevenberg.
Yeah, he's Italian. The other guy sounds like he's...
Yeah, like he's from Holland or something.
I don't know, man. Said Grevenberg, from Holland, said Grevenberg is a special needs teen who's never consumed alcohol. The 170-pound teenager, who's from Tybee Island, I guess that's off the coast of Georgia, said the police used a taser on him twice and threw him to the ground, breaking a front tooth. I just want to go to sleep, the teenager told the Savannah Morning News, as reported by TheExaminer.com. I sat down on the curb and put my head in my arms, and they stopped me. Mariani said he had gone into a restaurant briefly, and when he stepped back out, his handcuffed brother was bleeding and two taser barbs dangled from his back. When he told the police about his brother's health, their eyeballs got about that big when I told them he has a heart condition. The autistic teen's heart must be monitored regularly, according to his family. After being taken to the Tybee police station, Grevenberg was released. Yesterday, a police dispatcher said that no one was available to comment, according to the Associated Press. Well, there he goes. But here's the thing. It's interesting. Heart conditions are bad. People always worry about heart conditions. And yet, here's a guy with a heart condition. He got tased, and he didn't die. Now, what is that about?
Yeah, maybe it's not that bad for your heart.
Maybe not. Now, people say that individuals who've been tased have died as the result of the tasing because their hearts gave out. I'm going to say this, and this is all I'm going to say. I want to see some statistics. There is a lot of horse dung that flies through the media, as you know, and I'm going to give the media a break here. The reason why the horse dung flies through the media is because we, the readers and consumers, believe it, because if it gets repeated often enough, it's the truth, right? There's all kinds of stuff that's said. For instance, when I say that oil drilling is essentially safe before this big, you know, leak, there are some that say, oh, we have oil spills all the time. Well, we have incidents where oil is spilled or oil may leak, but how much is it? And what is the actual impact on the environment? And it is negligible to nothing. Well, you can't say that, Phil. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Because we have agencies that monitor these kinds of things. I got an email from a guy today who said, yeah, yeah, I know all about the oil drilling, Phil, but you must agree. No, I must not agree anything, man. I mean, I'm against oil drilling now on principle because of this BP thing, but I have no choice now. I know that it's an uphill. Now I know it's an uphill fight. But I can tell you this much. Where I live, yes, there is wildlife. And some jackass environmentalist emails me mocking that. Why would you be an environmentalist then, man, if you think it's a big fat joke that we have a marine mammal population here and wildlife here in California that's probably second to no other state in the union, if it's second to any country in the world, and it's right out here where there's oil being drilled? Why would you laugh at that and mock that if you're a so-called environmentalist? Well, the answer is this. You're not an environmentalist. You're just a jackass. You just got an axe to grind. Okay. Well, the same thing goes with just about every other kind of information there is in the world. Is it true or is it not? Is it true? You know, there used to be a commercial on. Is it live or is it Memorex, man? Now, do people with heart conditions succumb when they are tased or do they not? I think the answer is no. And I don't think there's any statistical evidence out there to support any real claim that tasers are bad for people with heart conditions. Because guess what, man? Here's a guy that just got tased, Clifford Grevenberg from Holland, and his brother from Italy, and he's fine.
Phil Hendry.
Okay, Mr. Hendry.
Thank you.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
So anyway, I was looking at this, you know, talking about tasers and stuff. What do you got, bud?
I got this article here about it, and they said Amnesty International thinks they're fine.
I doubt that seriously, man.
Kidding me, man? Amnesty International, they probably think it's torture or something. Well, it said that they're less than lethal.
That's a question mark. Amnesty International ain't going to find anything right about anything America does, so forget it, okay? Forget it, man. Amnesty reports, and by the way, Amnesty International, good going, man, because you really want to keep an eye on the United States. God knows that we are a big abuser of human rights here, and really, just keep an eye on us, man. And as far as Israel goes, keep an eye on them, too, because they're the second worst Nazi state in the world. And when it comes to the rest of those countries where they actually do torture people, you know, like peeling the skin off their bones because it's actually legal in those countries, don't worry about it. What is this supposed to be here? A study by the National Institute of Justice found there is no conclusive medical evidence. Yeah, I know. That's what we already got here. Taser refers to a conducted electrical weapons trademarked by the Scottsdale, Arizona company known as Taser International. Now, let me tell you what we got. Amnesty's report stating that between 2001 and 2008, 334 people died after being struck by tasers. It's a completely irresponsible. It's sad to see what's happened to that group. It's just sad. It's an agency that's not looking for instances of human rights abuses. They've got an agenda. They've got like a political agenda. They're looking to skew and twist. I just think it's sad because, I mean, I used to be a big supporter of Amnesty International. Well, they take these 334 taser deaths, and let me explain to you exactly what those are. Those are deaths that have been attributed to factors such as drug intoxication. Just as an example, according to a man who is concerned about the use of tasers, a Dr. Bozeman, who was involved in some of these studies, he said there are a number of cases where it's questionable that tasers could have played a role in the deaths. Questionable. So of the 334 deaths that have been caused by tasers between 2001 and 2008, 50 of these, taser shock caused or contributed, according to medical examiners and coroners. Now, I don't know how many supposedly it caused, and I don't know how many it supposedly contributed to, but that is a canvassing of medical examiners and coroners and their conclusions. And how many times, folks, have medical examiners and coroners been wrong when it's come to the cause of death? So that's not even any kind of a study. I mean, we're talking about an area of medical science where you can be wrong because it's not necessarily going to cost anybody their life. It may eventually cost somebody their medical license. And even these guys are not all that hot and ready to be, you know, blaming tasers. Anyway, so there's 334 deaths nationwide, most of them caused by other, you know, that were caused when tasers were involved. Let's put it that way. People died when the use of a taser was involved, and only 50 of those people, they say, died as the result of the taser itself, or it contributed to the cause of death. So, and how many of those deaths were properly studied or analyzed by the medical examiner or the coroner? I mean, the whole point that I'm trying to make here is, so this guy who has a heart condition, this dude who is mildly autistic, this young man in Georgia gets tased, and he's walking out of the jail with his brother, and they're going off to have some lunch. I mean, that cat didn't die, okay? So, excuse me.
Well, what are you saying?
What do you mean, what am I saying, man? If you got a heart condition, and you get tased, and you don't die, so what does that say about tasers?
that they don't, they, that, what are you talking about? They don't kill you.
Well, according to these guys, they kill you. Well, Mr. Henry, there could be other things involved. Well, all right, if there's other things involved, I'm perfectly happy to recognize that there's other things involved. What are the other things that are involved? Quit telling me, man, that tasers are doing this, that, and something else when there's other things involved. What the hell are they? Oh, God.
Well, if the taser didn't kill you, then the tasers didn't cause it.
Yeah, that'd be my point.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you. Simon Cowell bored with American Idol. Dateline wherever. After 9 seasons on American Idol, Simon Cowell says he's leaving the Fox juggernaut because he's bored to tears. I can't blame him. It's a great show, though, Simon, and you may be bored, but, as long as that cat was on a show, it was a watchable show. They're going to have to go a long way to find somebody who's going to replace that guy, man. You know, and Howard, he's fantastic, he's funny, but he ain't Simon Cowell, and Howard's going to be playing it for laughs, and that's not what you need. If you're going to fill this guy's shoes with someone, I mean, you're not going to find another Simon Cowell, but it's going to have to be a bona fide critic, and guess what? He agrees with me. Simon does. After a while, you start to go on automatic pilot, Simon Cowell told Oprah Winfrey during an interview last Thursday, and there were too many times, Oprah, where I was sitting there bored, and I thought, the end of the day, the audience doesn't tune in to watch me being bored. They deserve more than that. But I can't hide it when I'm bored. I just can't fake it. The 50-year-old British music executive, who said he always promised himself that he'd leave before he was forced to go, hopes his replacement won't just be a brash personality. He said, quote, I think primarily you've got to have somebody on that panel who actually knows what they're talking about, because everyone is talking about casting the nasty person or this person or get another Brit in. So he's reading it absolutely correctly, because, Simon, you are experiencing something maybe that you didn't anticipate, but it's a pretty standard, at least in American television. They don't know why something is successful. They constantly miss why something's successful, and when they try to replicate or duplicate the success, they wind up butchering it 6 ways to sunset. And he's right. The reason why this guy is number one, the reason why he was good, is because he knew what the hell it was he was talking about. He just happened to be honest. He happened to be brash. He happened to be British. But he was, in point of fact, very accurate as a music producer and as a music critic. But the Americans are saying what? We need somebody who's British and loud and rude and, yeah, that'll win. No, it won't. Cowell also discussed how taxing the show and all of the attention has been. My ear's like a yo-yo. I mean, I go through ups and downs. So I'm very dark when I'm in these moments. And maybe it's the draining effect when you have a lot of people who depend on you. Well, let's listen. I've got the actual words here of the man, and maybe I'm just repeating them. Here's Simon Cowell talking to Oprah Winfrey about leaving Idol because it's no longer fun.
I loved that buzz. And I liked the kind of the adventure, and it was fun. And then you get to a point. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, 2 years ago, I remember sitting in the auditions one day, and I thought, I think this is about as far as we can go. Mm. And I've always promised myself that I'd leave before I was forced to go. Mm-hmm. It feels like the right thing to do.
Cowell tells Oprah about who he thinks should replace him.
I think primarily you've got to have somebody on that panel who actually knows what they're talking about. Because everyone's is talking about casting the nasty person or this person or get another Brit in.
And it's not about personalities. It's about who knows how to pick talent. That's what you're saying.
100%
right. Yes, yes.
And, you know, if we were judging, you know, the ice skating Olympics, I mean, you wouldn't have somebody on there who's obnoxious. You'd have somebody who knows the difference between a 10, a 9, and an 8. Mm-hmm. And I think to a point, you've kind of got to go back to that.
Yeah, he's right. And, you know, if you get somebody who is a great, a great judge of talent, someone who recognizes what it takes, somebody who just knows that aspect of the, you know, business, well, they're going to be naturally critical, and they're going to be naturally skeptical, and they're going to have a lot of opinions. So there's your opinionated person. Now, if you want to have them get a British accent going, maybe you could hire me. I'll fake one. But
you don't know nothing about music or anything.
I didn't say that I did, but I mean, suppose I did. I could go in and do the British accent, too, is all I'm saying. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming back, a few other stories. One of them, a teacher lets students wear Klan outfits. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Bill Henry Show.
Bill Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And by the way, we're online at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. Take a look at our live streaming video. Listen to our live streaming audio. You can check out our archives and pretty much get everything you need to know about the Phil Hendry Show right there. philhenryshow.com. And as well, there's a whole lot of archived stuff that is not radio show stuff so much as it is old TV pilots and television shows that we did and video stuff that we've done and other video casts from other times. Just a real repository, a treasure trove of Phil Hendry material. So check it out, man. Now, I got a thing here. Well, I don't know if I read this, but it's the health benefits of chili peppers, cayenne pepper. And, you know, I don't believe this, but they say that chili peppers fight inflammation. It's a natural pain relief, cardiovascular benefits, clears congestion, boosts immunity, helps stop the spread of prostate cancer. Bull crap.
No, it probably does, if that's the holistic way.
Oh, my ass, the holistic way. Prevent stomach ulcers. Are you kidding me, man? Those cayenne peppers will rip an ulcer open in your gut faster than anything.
Why do you say that, man? I hear that stuff is healthy.
Healthy? How can anything be healthy, man, that it's like drinking hydrochloric acid? I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong. Lowers risk of type 2 diabetes and helps you lose weight? You know, I've gone... You know, a long way in my life, I used to be a guy that believed all of that, just like I used to be a guy that was in favor of oil drilling. But as the man said, when the facts change, I change my mind, right? And the facts are these, that some of this stuff can help you, obviously. But cayenne pepper, I happen to know, because, and most recently, I guess about a week ago, a friend of mine said, oh, are you having problems with your throat? Take some cayenne pepper with tea. And as soon as I read that, I knew that maybe it worked for them, but ain't going to work for me. I took a couple of cayenne capsules once, you know, these capsules with cayenne pepper in them. And I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. And I started to talk like this after about 5 minutes. And I was on the air when I did it.
You're kidding me.
No. And I was like, I don't understand. I mean, I like this stuff. You know, I had chili the other night with some of that cayenne in there, but I ain't about to believe it's going to get rid of or help prevent prostate cancer. How do they say it unless they really know, you know? So I got that in the mail. Nobody needs to convince me, man. I like all that jazz, man. I'm not ready to believe. I mean, I like to eat the stuff, but I'm not ready to start eating cayenne pepper because it's going to help with my cardiovascular health. Forget it. And I like it, too. And I'll, you know, I will continually, I'll eat that garbage till the cows come home, man. But not because it's going to be helping me with any, you know, problems with my cardiovascular or prostate cancer or helping me get rid of ulcers. All right, now, or after I see Venus Williams wearing no panties, you know.
Let me see that.
Don't grab it away from me.
No, man, you said we could see it.
All right, there. See? Here, I'll show it to my audience on the video feed. This is Venus Williams. Now, does that look like she's not wearing any panties or what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's actually some kind of a flesh-colored undergarment. Now, I don't know. I think it's Venus. Yeah, it's Venus. She's been known for her goofy ways, hasn't she? I say goofy ways. She's been known as a chick who likes to, you know, dress up and everything. Anyway, in a city known for fashion, the elder Williams sister took the court in Paris on Sunday for opening round match wearing a lacy black can-can corset with spaghetti straps and red trim that created plenty of buzz. As Venus Williams ran and jumped her way around the court, the fancy getup designed to give the illusion of being see-through was prone to several revealing moments. Williams, who designed the outfit herself, drew whistles and gasps from the Paris crowd. And again, if you have our video feed, you can see. It looks like she's not wearing any underwear. It looks like, you know.
Man, her butt's hanging in the breeze.
I suppose, bud, you could put it that way.
No, that's exactly how I'm putting it.
Well, I think it was Steve Bozell who, what did he say? You heard him, Robert.
Yeah, he said, like, it wasn't the Blob, but it would be like Venus Williams if her butt was like the Blob.
Meaning her butt took over the world? Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, that's what he said.
Thank God we only did 40 minutes with that guy. Anyway, as she ran and jumped her way around the court, the fancy getup designed to give the illusion of being see-through drew gasps and whistles from the Parisian crowd. Now, the attire certainly didn't hamper her play. The number two-ranked Williams choreographed a 6-3, 6-3 victory over longtime foil Patty Schneider in the match. So what did Patty wear? She was probably out there in one of those just the long pants or something. It's almost like the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. So, spectators in the stands at Court Suzanne Lenglen yesterday gasped as Williams' short dress flew up during the play. But it was some type of skin-toned underwear that they were looking at. The outfit was about illusion, and that's been a lot of my motif this year. Illusion, Venus said, who turns 30 next month, dreamily talking to reporters. Dreamily? Some critics, that's like the writer who's dreaming. So in other words, she didn't know what she was putting on. She didn't even know she wasn't wearing underwear, huh? Well, she was dreamily looking at me. Anyway, some critics, including the Daily Mail reporter in the UK, called the outfit too revealing and bizarre. Well, maybe it is. There it is. Venus Williams, man. I wish I loved tennis, which I don't, but I wish I did, because just that story alone, man, is enough to, I guess. And then finally, we have chubby men as attractive as men with six-packs. Six-packs are not such a big deal after all. An Australian research that examined viewers' responses to different male body types and advertisements found that an average-sized man is just as appealing as a bulked-up Adonis. And the respondents in the University of Queensland study rated images of slender or slightly chubby masculinity at least as high as those with well-developed six-packs, according to the study leader. The results could add to the debate about media presentation of unrealistic body types, which is until now focused almost exclusively on ultra-thin female models and whether they cause eating disorders among young women. So if you're a fat ass, you're attractive, dude. Huh? How's it feel? Neither sex responded more positively to the muscle-bound body. So these are just studies about, to make you feel better if you got a big fat ass on you, right? World famous Phil Hendry Show, and again, our website, philhendryshow.com, and we're going to be planning a whole host of things in this coming 12-month period, including trying to get out on the road a little bit more and visiting you guys. I'd like to do a series of shows for our affiliates, for starters, and those would be just one-man shows, and by that I don't mean, Give 'Em Hell Harry starring, you know, James Whitmore or anything. I'm saying bringing a taste of the show to our listeners. So we would like to do that over the next 12-month period, get out and see you guys for a change. And we will make that happen very, very soon. And we also, of course, encourage you to join our website, join the ever-expanding group of people who are with us over there because of the downloads, because of the downloadable audio, because of the video cast, because really, if you think you know what the show's about, you don't until you take a look at a video cast of the show. And it's all over there at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And let's see, a couple of other things we wanted to tell you about. One of them having to do with, as I say, going out on the road and doing a series of shows for affiliates. I'm eventually going to boil all this stuff down to a set one-man show that I'd like to do for more than just people who are listening to our radio show or coming out to see us at our various affiliate stops. We'd like to do a one-man show for a larger audience of people. So that's something else. And, you know, when I was on the plane, I was posting on my website via my iPhone. So literally flying Delta back east on our way to St. Vincent, I was able to use the in-flight wireless and post from my iPhone to the website. And in one post, I said, what are we going to do down there? Write. And I said, but mostly I'll probably just swim. And that's mostly kind of what I did, just swim. But in any event...
Well, yeah, you got a lot of pictures of you sitting around swimming.
I know, but I wanted it to sound like I was Ernest Hemingway. Anyway, so I got started on a couple of things, and it's going to be interesting. I hope it's interesting for you. I think it will be, though. All right. So thanks very much for listening to us tonight. Back into another week here. Be with us again tomorrow night. Margaret Gray's going to pay us a visit, I'm sure, as well as Bobby Dooley on a couple of things, one of them having to do with the immigration situation in Arizona. Don't forget our number, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhenryshow.com.